Welcome to the Urban Farming Podcast. My name is Chris Late. I've been urban farming for about 2 years now, and we really here to get the notion of urban farming as a potential solution to food security on track. So please hit the subscribe button, like us on Facebook, and to send us what you would like to know and understand better about urban farming. Hello, it's Chris Late here, and again, I've got Rikkelees Reyneke with me. Rikkelees is one of the leading figures in the aquaponic environment in South Africa. She started her own fish farm at the age of 12 and is now a matriculant in Afrikaans Hoër Meisie School in Pretoria. Rikkelees, welcome.
Thank you.
I'd like to start today with your achievement this year, receiving the gold prize at the Tunisia International Science Fair. Congratulations.
Yeah,
that's magnificant. What did you present then?
It was basically the modular aquaponics system, but in nicer words, I would rather explain it as a modular ecosystem for food sustainability or sustainability in communities. So it was basically just the business concept of how it would be implemented in communities, how easy is it to sustain, what can you expect as challenges, and how should you work to get these challenges to a way that it can just benefit the community by growing the system, producing vegetables, and etc.
Well, let's dive into that a little bit deeper. But first of all, just maybe if you haven't listened to last week's episode, aquaponics, let's just redefine aquaponics for the listener.
Aquaponics is basically the technique where you use fish, plants, and water in one system, where the fish's excrete is fertilizer for the plants. The plants absorb that nutrients and at the same time clean the water. So it's a constantly recirculating system where the one benefits the other, and they can't live without each other. So with this, you can basically say in the most easiest words, it's fish, plants, and water in one system.
Symbiotic.
Absolutely. Yeah, symbiotic.
Yeah, wow. All right, and it seems to me that your focus on this year's science fair, on International Science Fair, was specifically how communities can benefit from that. What is the benefits? I mean, I can think of a couple, but what did your research say?
So the research was done in South Africa, but if I can use an example for further in Africa, we have communities where there's no electricity and water is scarce. For example, there's not taps where you open the tap and the water comes out. So the people need to walk to a river or dam which has water, but that distance makes it difficult. So people need to walk with buckets to get water, and the buckets is used for cooking purposes, washing clothes, drinking, and so. So some of the water will be used to tend to a garden. But if you only have 20 liters of water that day and you had to walk 5 times to the river to get that water, you're not going to use that 20 liters on a garden. You will rather use that to cook and to clean and to drink and to sew. So our focus was to develop a system where it's easy in such a way that the person doesn't need a very high level of education, maintainable and modular for people in communities to sustain themselves. So with that, water needs to be reused, and also high quality vegetables needs to be grown out of the system. So that's where this modular aquaponic system comes in, which is called the LAPI system, which is a small system. It can sustain a family. As I also mentioned in last week's episode, it's easily enough to manage. So with this, we went into depths of what is needed in the daily nutrients of a family, all those small calculations we've done and to see if communities actually are willing to do it. So if we go into a project, if I mention a project that we're doing now in South Africa and with the Flemish government, people are buying into this, but not like our research has shown. So in Africa, people were quite keen about this idea. They said, yes, let's do it. And specifically at schools, the response of the children were bigger. Now, this we've done in the Congo, in a small town called Kapushki, or some people pronounce it Kapushka. I don't know. But
almost sounds Russian.
Yeah. we've seen this response from the people in that community. Now, in South Africa, we've done another survey with also the Lapi system, and it was elderlies that grew vegetables from the system, and they made a gathering point where they brought the system or the vegetables to a center point, and they sold that. So that was our main research gathering that we've done that were used in the expos, can I say, research and information and so. So yeah, that's basically that I can say about that. It was very interesting to see all the different things getting together, forming part of each other, and so, yeah.
I want to ask a couple of questions on that, but maybe also just so that the listeners know who's talking to them. Rikkelise, I mean, it's wonderful to see a young person, you know, really excelling on scientific basis, you know, let's put it this way, with your science fair going internationally. But tell us a little bit more about Rikkelise. You know, last episode, last week, you told us that your passion for fish farming basically started you had your first farm up and running at the age of 12. And you've learned so much and actually contributed so much over the last 5-6 years. Point is, where are you heading to as a person? What are you going to do once you're done with school next year?
So the fish farm is not going to go anywhere. There is a few adjustments I want to make in the next coming year, starting to get the production up and running as it was, and try to spread it out to get people helping me, or more staff that can help manage the whole facility or the business, because it just grew so big. I can't do anything by myself anymore. And then further, I need to go and study. Well, I want to go and study. So I would definitely like to go study marine biology at UCT. And with that, you can also do oceanography as a double major, as my research has shown. That is my first option. My second option is ichthyology at Rhodes University. So it's definitely in the fish field.
Rhodes have always been the aquaculture sort of bastion in South Africa.
So I'm always going to stay in the fish industry, because that is my passion, and I strongly believe that if you're doing something that is your passion, you won't ever feel like working, because you're just loving your work so much. Sometimes I'm a bit excited about the future, and other times I'm a bit scared, because I want to do so much stuff, I don't know where I'm going to start. But firstly, I'm first going to focus on school. That comes first. Sometimes it makes my father quite mad, because I need to remind him I'm still in school, I need to focus there. And after I've done all the studies and so, I will rather get full-time more involved in the business aspect, or farming, or marine environment. Who knows, maybe I start an aquaculture farm in the ocean or so, or near the ocean.
Just Rikkelise, from my side, best of luck, and I'm very confident that whatever direction you're going to take, just keep doing the good things you're doing. But let's go back to this International Science Fair, in which you got the gold medal. And as I understand, I don't know if it was out of that project or whether the Flemish sponsorship is the a different thing. But tell us a bit. All right. So in essence, as I understand from you, you're now rolling out these LAPI systems in Diepsloot Soweto.
Yeah. So with the expo and everything coming together, our survey was first done last year until June or so. Then we entered for the government of Flanders project, and then at the end of last year I competed in North Gauteng Science Expo, and then it went through to the different stages. So at the time that I went competing in Tunisia, we already knew that we had the project running. Okay. And we had all our, we started getting our plans in place, and so our main, well, our goal with the project is to roll out systems and to train the community to get something new in their lives, in their lifestyles, but also to become self-sustainable. So we're currently still in the phase where we're getting the community involved and training the people. So it's still in its very early stages. But quite this far, it went good. The questions we've received from the community, it was quite astonishing. I was like, wow.
Now what type of questions did they pose? So
the first time we had like the marketing students of TVET. And they came in and we had a small description of what aquaponics was, and just to see their faces lit up to realize that this plants growing without soil, that was quite interesting to see. But afterwards they went into the tunnel and they saw the system firsthand, and they could actually see, wow, okay, so this is how it works. And then they started asking questions like, but can't you plant this type of plants and this type of plants? And it was still very basic, or everything going to the system and how it should be controlled and managed. But it was interesting, yeah.
Yes. Well, and right, in the communities now, huh? What type of challenges do you get? I mean, how's the project going? What's your feedback on
that? So, definitely one of our biggest challenges is management and gathering data for research purposes. Mm. So, our management is, currently we have three great ladies that's our field managers, and they are all hands on deck. They've done their research, they have done all the training, so I can say they know everything.
Wonderful, nice.
But the community, for instance, there's a school just next to the place where the tunnels is placed, and by accident it happened that the children were smoking.
Oh, yeah.
And the cigarettes was just flicked onto the grass, and the grass caught fire.
Okay.
So, for instance, the tunnel plastic started to melt and stuff like that. Yeah. So, we can say it's in the community, the normal struggles is still there. There hasn't been a case where somebody came in and stole our pump or so, but that is also a challenge that we need to keep in mind. But definitely the management part and the training. I know with the ladies, we had to walk a very long path to get them to a way that they can feel confident in transferring their knowledge to the community members, or students, or whoever. So that was definitely our two biggest challenges that we are still facing, but that we also faced. Yeah.
Oh, great. And is the community appreciative of the work you're doing there? Do they get the benefits? Do they get some of the fish?
I think at this current stage, it's still, we only have about rolled out in our training phase about four systems at this specific area. So now, not yet, because they're not getting anything out of it. But the moment we've rolled out all 50 systems, I think the perception will be much different.
And the people that's now involved, I mean, they're going to become the future aquaponics experts in our country.
Very true.
That's awesome, you know. I think it's important to understand the risk factors. You know, I started an aquaponics plant in a container in an industrial area, which is quite a high crime area. And I deliberately decided to have the fish inside the container so that the pumps and things can be safe. But then we constructed the greenhouse over the container. And the first weekend when I was at all the steel for the greenhouse construction inside the container, somebody broke into the container and stole all the all the steel. But you know, in that example, once we got going and once the sort of, let's call it criminal element, start realizing, oh, but these guys are growing food and, you know, it's probably good for the community and so on, you know, our risk has actually gone down, you know. And also because it's now a farming setup, and you're constantly there and monitoring, the vigilance with regards to a potential crime, seeing out a criminal, is just much higher, you know. So and I think you've probably got many examples of how getting involved in community projects actually brings down criminal statistics.
Definitely. I can see that it works hand in hand. Even I know in some cases there's community centers, and with that you can arrange that the children in the community come work there throughout the school holidays and etc. They can also stay out of trouble.
Yeah, well, congratulations, and I hope they're going to write a nice story around this research. I really think it's a stunning project to be involved in. And was it difficult to get the donor funding?
Well, from a perspective of South Africa's support in getting projects like this up and running, in South Africa we struggled a lot. We got to a point that we just said we're not even going to try anymore. But with the Flemish government, we entered, and with our students working on the facility, purely because our facility is a living lab, so research is being done there.
Sorry, can I interrupt you? So you've got students coming from everywhere around the world to come and work at your facility.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah.
So they actually brought the proposal up to the table, and we said, well, let's do it. The worst thing that can happen is they say no. So let's try. And actually, we got it, and we were very, very surprised. So that's how we started the whole project, all the different phases and so, yeah.
Yes, well, you know, I think that's such an important lesson for aspiring urban farmers, is that, you know, open up your facility for learners. I mean, this is a wonderful example of where people that came to get knowledge just brings that additional exposure. And you know, we as humans learn from each other. That's the best way of learning. And essentially, the fact that it's donor funded from an international funder, it brings there's no cost, layout cost for the urban farmer that you're training.
No, nothing. Yeah. So, and we also get basically paid to train the person. So the person that's been trained actually has such a big step ahead of the normal person that needs to buy a system, pay for the training, pay for all the trial and errors. So for me, if I've been placed in a community like that, I would be quite privileged.
No, I can imagine, and I hope that some of your students is listening and realizing how important it is that you know, the fact that it's been donated to you by an international organization There's a bit of a responsibility that goes with that. We can't drop the ball there.
Mm-mm.
And it's actually lovely to know that there's an interest. And maybe if I can ask you that question, I mean, since you do have some international exposure, do the developed countries see aquaponics as a potential of one of the solutions for the developing world?
Well, I haven't been into one of those countries to see aquaponic systems firsthand,
okay.
But I can say that there's been a lady from Norway, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken, that attended a course, mm-hmm. and her father is farming with perch.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to switch over to aquaponics because it's the new trending way.
Mm.
So I think that concludes well enough that there is a lot of potential in developed countries for this.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely, I believe that this is a farming technique of the future. Even if you can do it in a small scale, you can still produce a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look into countries like that, they don't have enough. Well, they don't have the vast stretches of land as we do. So definitely they do it like that because otherwise where are they going to get their vegetables and so from?
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if I mentioned it in one of the previous episodes, but it's worth mentioning again. I mean, I was absolutely astonished 2 years ago when I read for the Netherlands have now surpassed China and is the second biggest food exporter in the world.
Wow.
I mean, it's America and then Netherlands.
This is quite impressive.
So I think that's important that, you know, maybe a lot of the development is coming from water-rich but space-poor environments where we have, let's say, space-rich but water-poor.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, again, you know, I just think there's anybody listening to this, you know, what Recolise is doing is just teaching people that don't matter where your site is. I mean, it can be on the top of a building, it can be down in a basement, it can be in a impoverished township or affluent suburb or wherever. There is a solution to actually be self-sustaining and farm in a sustainable fashion. Some of the other learnings, perhaps that will influence your work that you're doing with aquaponics that's coming out of the study specifically, is there?
Well, I think aquaponics has quite a big potential of what you can learn from it.
Mm.
It's not specifically just the farming, the physical farming, planting new crops, harvesting the crops, but the aspect of the technology that can be combined with it. For instance, we use the Fishify app, but by optimizing space, controlling climate, using cameras to see what is happening in your system, stuff like that contributes to that technology is also used. And I think that is quite the era that we're currently moving in, that technology is so part of our lives that we can't live without it. And even now we use it to grow our vegetables. Now, it doesn't make our vegetables less organic or less healthy. It actually just helps the fact that we can get better yields, better growth, or etc. So aquaponics, again, is there's so big field and it has so much potential that it's again, sky's the limit with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Recolise, can we talk a little bit more about Fishify? Now, I understand that it's been developed by learners from Belgium campus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Belgium campus is a partner in the project with the Flemish government.
Okay.
They worked together. We decided that we need a monitoring system to monitor the slappy systems in the communities. We can't just place the system on somebody else's account money and it doesn't work. And the biggest thing is a lot of people says we need success stories. We can't just have another project and it just fails after a year the moment we step back and say, all right, you can do it by yourself now. So that is how the Fisher Fire has been developed. Again, it gives guidelines of what to do if the water pH is too high, temperature, and etc. It gives you monitoring access. If you have the electronic probes in your system, you can monitor the water quality directly from that. You can either talk like messaging, WhatsApp or so, through the app to your staff. So you have quite, even if you're not on the facility, you will actually know what's going on in the facility the whole time.
Well, it's excellent. And, you know, I remember Lindsay Termesizen, which sort of guided my thinking around, and he's an aquaculture specialist. And but he always used to say, you know what, the most important thing is using your senses. Get in there, sight, smell, and hearing. You know, you can hear the, unfortunately, you can hear the pump break before it breaks. But, you know, so it, and does the fact that, you know, so in other words, when what I'm trying to say is, let's say you've got a number of urban farms that you're trying to manage. How do you, does Fishify help to ensure that there is regular inspections of the site, is it?
Okay. With the app, there's a function that you can say that the person managing the farm, if it's not been there, or if the person hasn't entered data into the app for a specific time, he will get an alert, or you will get an alert. And in such way, you will constantly know, okay, the person has been there, and if he was there, he had to put in data into the app. And you can even go that far that you can see he wasn't in the facility because the cameras doesn't show it. Or so, but the thing is, this is just a system to make sure that the system is being managed and that you gather data. It's not a checkup system. It's not like that thing that you need to play like a policeman.
And it's actually empowering the user.
So it's not that thing that it's playing policeman, you need to be there, it's all this rules. It's rather just to get that action of being involved, getting the person out there, and etc. But also to create that initiative to actually do something to the system if something was wrong or looks a little bit off or so.
And you, well, I understand that if you acquire the Lapis system, and Lapis, I assume, comes from Lapierre's,
which is definitely
your company that you founded. And you can get that through lapierresaqua.co.za. You can learn more about that. But part of the benefit is if you do buy the system through you get free access to this.
The app is available on all platforms. The free version is the Lapis version, if I can say like that. And then afterwards, the payable version is available, but that's more for commercial systems. With that, you can have all the different tanks set up. You can put the amount of fish in your tanks, how old are they, the average weight, all those kind of stuff that commercial farmers would like to use.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely going to head up to the app store for Fishify today. So, Rika, let's maybe talk to, well, where do you, two topics that I'd still like to cover is, well, where do you start if you want to get into aquaponics? And then, our next week's guest is a lady that's going to talk a little bit more about how do you sell. You know, once you've got a yield, what do you do with it? And I guess a lot depends on, do you just want to cultivate for yourself, or do you actually want to make a business out of it? But let's just first start with what would you recommend somebody that's interested in aquaponics to do? And then I'd like to use your shop as an example.
So to get involved in aquaponics, there's a lot of things available on the internet, a lot of YouTube videos, all of those things. But you can only learn the practical things, or let's say again, how to build a practical thing. It doesn't teach you about all the things behind the scene. So it's important for you to do your research thoroughly. If it depends that you need to attend a course, please do. It's a bit costly, but the knowledge afterwards is paying back the money.
Can I maybe, sorry to interrupt you, but and I know the Aquaponics Association sort of verifies courses is what, if I don't know where to start, is it, what would you recommend?
For instance, if you visit my website, yeah, all the courses that's been done by Leslie is published on the website. Okay. We work hand in hand in doing courses either in Pretoria or in Grahamstown.
Yeah.
So that is available, but there's quite other people in the industry that's also doing courses.
Okay.
So you can just Google it, basically.
Okay. All right.
So it's widely available. Yeah, courses in South Africa is widely available. So further on, the best thing is to just start.
Mm-hmm.
If you have all the knowledge, just start. You're going to do some few times, trial and error, do something over maybe third time or fourth time, but it's all right. You learn through that. So that is the biggest thing with this. You just need to start. The moment you start, you're going to get into that groove and you're going to start getting that feeling of feeding the fish and producing vegetables and so. Yeah, just start, trial and error.
You can start with something as simple as a barrel.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Well, yeah, let's start. I think there's no better conclusion on that topic than just do it. Now tell me, all right, now you've managed to get a yield and it's more than can satisfy your family's needs. What would you suggest going from there?
Well, firstly, if you have a local market in your community, let's say there's a restaurant down the street, approach the restaurant, give them a feedback, what you can produce, this is what you're getting, this is the amount of produce you can produce, and there's some people are in the way of supporting local farmers.
Mm.
So it's a quite a trending thing, so it can help.
Mm.
But even further on, we have an aquaponics shop called Aquaponics Direct. So with this shop, we specifically try to sell all aquaponically produced produce.
Mm.
So that is vegetables, fish, as well as equipment. So the equipment you can get online.
Yeah.
Nothing funny about that, but you can't buy a lettuce that's been grown out of an aquaponics system online.
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
Okay.
So, we with the shop, we're trying to get the public out there to know what aquaponics is. Just to get the word out there, telling people, well, this is something that you can consider, keep in mind, and the produce produced out of this is actually good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the word we're getting out there. Now, from my facility, we can produce enough for the shop, but because we also do some research, we can't always sell all the vegetables from the system.
Mm-hmm.
So if a person has too much vegetables and it's good quality and etc., we are more than likely willingly to sell the lettuce or the vegetables from the shop.
Okay.
Because we want to grow the industry in South Africa. It's not necessarily just commercial, even the hobbyist guys, because they contribute to the industry in South Africa.
Yeah, well, excellent. Yeah. I visited your shop. It's unique, it's well designed. I must compliment you there, but it's wonderful to walk in. And there's walk-in fridges, there's open fridges. It's an experience. You can feel and taste and so on. There's also quite a bit of interactive material, some videos and stuff that you play. And it's if I can put it that way, you know, the listener must imagine both, I think, a library, aquaponics library, and a shop, because it's extremely informative and it's done out of two containers.
Yeah, we moved the facility a bit up the road now.
Okay.
So it's a permanent structure now. It's not the containers anymore.
Okay.
So it's literally just up the road. It's still at a nursery called the Red Tree Nursery.
Okay.
And anybody will pass it and they will see this random tunnel standing in front of the shop. So then they know, well, this is Aquaponics Direct.
Okay, great. Well done with that. Michaelise, it was again a tremendous honor to have you here.
Thank you.
I really think it's important also if parents listen to this podcast to spread the word that, you know, you don't have to, in my case, be 50 years old before you start with this. You can actually start with this at school already.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually amazing that every year, you know, I'm now in a position where I offer internships, to young people. But every year I get a youngster wanting to do his school project on aquaponics and coming on, and it's heartwarming to see how the industry is actually growing. And I'm very excited about the work that you're doing to enhance urban farming as well as commercial fish farming.
Thank you. Yeah.
Any parting words from your side?
I would just like to leave a message. Again, you're never too young to make a difference. If you feel that you're going to make a difference by writing a book or singing a song or even doing aquaponics or aquaculture, please don't hesitate. Just do it.
Just do it. You're never too young or too old. Just do it.
True.
Michaelise, thanks a lot.
All right.
Thank you very much. This is Chris Late signing out. Until next week, keep on farming. Thank you very much for listening. If you haven't done so already, please hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, click the link on Facebook where you can review us and tell us what content you'd like. We aim to bring you the very best in content. Thank you very much. This is Chris Late signing out. Until next time, keep farming.